In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. Massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view. The continents show the speckled, electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and a massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company.
Hazy circles of light overlap, their colors and sizes varied. Words appear. Focus Features, a Comcast company. The O in Focus is blurred. Focus Features presents A Heretic, Zhivago Film, a Private View production. With the support of film-owned Median Stiftung NRW, Your Images, Greek Film Center, Screen Flanders, MFG Baden-Württemberg, German Federal Film Fund, Board Cadre Films and Sovereign Films, Federal Government Commissioner for Culture and the Media, in co-production with MMC Movies, ERT. A daytime view shows New York City skyscrapers. In a luxurious apartment, a rectangular pool sits by tall windows. In a living room, a white sectional couch flanks a glass table. In a kitchen, a photo shows people embracing. In another room, a painting depicts a yellow bird. A sun ray moves over a crystalline chess set. A large photo of a white-haired man, a blonde girl, and a wolf-like dog hangs on a wall.
When I was a kid, my teacher asked, "What are the three things I would save from my house if it were on fire?"
Expressionist artwork hangs on a wall.
I answered, "My sketchbook, my AC/DC album, and my cat Groucho."
A photo shows people on a mobile staircase with no plane attached. Slits in a red art piece resemble the letter Z.
I didn't mention my parents or my sister. Of course, most of the other kids did. Does that make me a bad person?
A close view shows a tree trunk in the expansive living room.
My cat died. I lent that AC/DC album to a guy named Kojo and I never saw it again. But the sketchbook, I kept.
A stool sits in a bathtub with sharp angles.
Cats die. Music fades. But art is for keeps.
A large piece of art depicts a man duct taped to a white background. A roving view shows skyscrapers.
"Hey guys, two minutes to drop off. Proceeding as planned. Number three, all good?"
"All according to plan. I'm in position. Computer's online."
Yellow taxis crowd a city street. Appears over black, inside. Nighttime, an older man with angular features sits on an enclosed balcony under a hole in the overhead netting. His forehead bears a cut. Wearing a blue work jumpsuit, he swings a backpack over his shoulder and walks off.
"Open sesame in 3, 2, 1.
Lights turn on in the luxurious apartment. The man enters from the balcony as its door slides open.
"Proceed to step 2. Deactivate the security system."
The man taps a monitor on the wall and it lights up. He touches keypad numbers on the screen, then taps a square labeled "Validate." The screen reads, "Disarmed."
"7 minutes and counting."
He checks his watch, then hurries into the living room. He peers upward.
There we are.
On the upstairs landing, he slides the expressionist paintings into sacks. As he leaves, he grabs a small statue. He pauses by the family photo of the white-haired man, the blonde girl, and the dog. They pose in the living room.
Boo.
By the security monitor, he sets down the sacks and his backpack. He walks down the hall, passing more artwork. The man enters a bedroom and spots a collage-like painting.
That's fucking weird.
He grabs another expressionist painting off the wall, then uses his radio.
"Number 3, come in."
"Roger."
"The self-portrait isn't here."
"You what?"
"I found the three other Sheelys like clockwork, but no self-portrait."
"Your self-portrait?"
"Yeah, I'm in the master bedroom, and there's another painting where it should be."
"That's impossible." Go check the video installation room.
He carries the third Shealy painting past a set of fish tanks and sets it down.
4 minutes and counting.
He enters a cavernous room. Videos project on a wall.
I'm in the video installation room. There's no paintings here.
You sure?
Someone just finds a way into
the room. I'm pretty sure.
Look again.
Man, the self-portrait is not here.
I don't understand.
Where the fuck is it, then?
How the fuck should I know? Maybe he took it with him to Kazakhstan.
Of course he didn't take it to Kazakh-fucking-stan.
Oh.
There's no way he took it on a business trip.
What do you want me to do?
That piece was worth $3 million, man. Damn it. We're out of time. Take what you got and go.
He leaves the video installation room and approaches the security monitor. He uses the radio.
Number three, come in. I'm at the door. You hacked in?
I am in. Here's the activation code. Are you ready?
Ready.
3-1-6-0-7-2. Activate.
Activate.
Oh, fuck.
System malfunction.
What? Guys!
The balcony door slides shut.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening, man. Time's lost access.
What's happening?
I don't understand.
He runs to the closed balcony door and touches the glass.
System malfunction.
He rams his shoulder against it.
System malfunction.
Colorful fish swim in a tank. As the lights system repeatedly dim and brighten, he drags a circular metal object across the floor. The man heaves it against the glass door. He stumbles backward, knocking into a lamp. He hurls the metal object against the door again.
Malfunction.
Light pulses over a neon sign on a wall and in a room with a long, curved
system
bench.
Malfunction.
Go back to the main door. Try it now, again.
System.
He rushes to a door bearing intricate carvings. Light flashes over the photo of the white-haired man with the girl and dog.
It's locked. It won't open.
System malfunction.
It won't open. Come in, number three. Come in.
I don't know what to do, man.
System malfunction.
I'm sorry. You're on your own.
Come in.
Over and out.
The word malfunction flashes in red letters on the security monitor. The man inspects the edges. Using his knife, he pries it off the wall so it hangs at an angle.
System malfunction.
He pulls down on something on the back of the monitor. The malfunction message disappears. Now glitching, the screen shows the temperature as 72 degrees Fahrenheit. A golden light flashes over the branches of an interior tree. With wadded paper in his ear, the man hangs his head near the door. Lights flash over him in the third Shealy painting. Wincing, he covers his ears. The lights continue to flash off and on. He shakes his head, then looks over his shoulder, shielding his eyes with his hand. The lights flash over parallel wooden beams. Upstairs, the man kicks a flashing light hanging from the landing. It goes dark, then falls. He kicks down another light. The man pulls books off a shelf. He pulls on the long, short bookcase. He climbs to reach a circular speaker on the wall and pulls it out, cutting its wires. He removes a paper earplug. The man looks around, then smashes a narrow light bulb. In the living room, he slides the table holding the chess set. The crystalline pieces shake. He pulls the table backward and the chess pieces fall. He heaves the table again, then stops and looks up. Using his knife, he removes another alarm speaker from the wall and snips its wires. He briefly rests his head against the wall. The man steps down from a chair which sits on the table. He folds up his knife, then takes a seat on the edge of the table. The blurred city lights glow in the distance beyond the floor-to-ceiling windows. The man hangs his head. He walks through the dark hallway and a light turns on. The man looks up at the long light fixture, then studies the surrounding area. Passing the hanging security monitor, he approaches the ornate door. He touches its large knob, then puts his ear to the wood. The man takes his ear from the door. He moves his hand over the carved wooden surface, feeling its many crevices. He sticks his finger into a small opening and pushes. He takes it out and repeatedly stabs his knife into the door. A chunk of wood falls from the door. A roving view shows framed black and white photos hanging in the hallway. Pulls a larger chunk of wood from the door.
Come on, baby. There you go.
He chips at the newly exposed wood with his knife. Small shards fall to the floor and pile up by his feet. The artwork of the duct tape man hangs on the wall perpendicular to the family portrait with the dog. On the glitching security monitor, a blue snowflake icon changes to a red sun. An arrow beside a thermometer symbol points up. The man lowers his knife and looks around curiously. He steps away from the door and raises his hands, one holding the knife and the other palm open.
Fucking heat.
A thin air vent stretches across the ceiling. The man enters the kitchen and walks to the sink. He turns on the faucet and drinks water from his hand. The water flow slows to a drip, then stops. The man pushes the faucet handle up and down. He releases it and goes to the stove. He tries to turn on a burner. He turns and glances at a framed photo of a table and two chairs. Furrowing his brow, he goes to the fridge, which bears a screen on one door. He opens it.
Hi there. How about an egg white omelette au fines herbe and an avocado and mint smoothie? Only 10% of your daily calorie.
He closes and opens it again.
Hi there. You are low on supplies. Consult the smart home groceries monitor.
The fridge contains jars of sauces and spreads and an open sleeve of molding cookies. He opens the other door to examine the freezer. The man looks around in confusion. He shuts and opens both doors.
Hi there, friendly reminder. Do not leave the fridge door open for longer than 20 seconds.
He drinks from a bottle of clear liquid. A close view shows his lips suctioned against the mouth of the bottle. The liquid runs out. The security monitor reads 84 degrees Fahrenheit. As he hacks at the door, beads of sweat drip down the nape of the man's neck and into his gray t-shirt. His knife comes into contact with a piece of metal. He clears wood splinters away with his finger and presses against the metal. He taps it with the tip of his knife. He draws his knife back, then slumps forward against the door, his head on his forearm. He releases his weight from the door. As he walks by the security monitor, he punches it with the side of his fist. The man lies on the table with the chest set.
Come in, number three.
Using his radio, he rolls onto his back.
Come in, number three. Number three, come in.
Later, the man opens the fridge. The neon sign above the partition window reads, "All the time that will come after this moment."
Hi there, you are low on supplies. Consult the smart home groceries monitor.
Price of vodka. Party time.
He slugs the vodka, then brings the open sleeve of cookies to the counter. A view from the living room shows the fridge door open behind him. He slams the door shut. Now he scrapes white mold off a cookie and wipes it off on the edge of a coffee table. He dips his knife into a tin of caviar and spreads it on the cookie. Sitting on the white sectional, the man takes a bite. He stares at a TV showing a distorted image. He uses a remote, flipping to a shopping program advertising weight loss supplements. The glitching TV shows a football game, then pornography. He switches to a grid of clear video from 9 security cameras. In one section, a guard sits at a front desk in a lobby. Others show an elevator and a service stairwell. The man watches with intrigue. He focuses on a section labeled Recreation Area, which shows a room containing exercise equipment. The stairwell sits empty, and the guard at the front desk looks at his cell phone. Taking another bite of food, the man leans back and watches the security video. A label on the front desk view reads Reception 2. The guard stares off. In the apartment, the man's gaze shifts to a painting on the wall. It depicts a naked woman from the back. Resting her head on her hand, she lies on a black surface with a rainbow band running through it. The man enters a dark bedroom. A photo of the blonde girl hangs on the wall. He approaches the bed and takes off his shoes. The man flops onto the bed. He closes his eyes, resting his head on a thick pillow. Waves move rhythmically in a pool. On the TV, security video shows people exercising in the recreation room and a man standing at the reception desk. A view labeled PH Hall shows the other side of the carved door. Inside the penthouse, sunlight shines on the third Sheely painting leaning by the door. On the balcony, a pigeon frantically flies into the netting in a window, losing several feathers. In the penthouse, the man enters a hallway. He hurries to a staircase and jogs up to the living room. He leaps onto the sectional and runs to look through one of the tall windows. A shadow passes over him. Panting, he places his hands on his knees and bends over. His attention moves back outside. He sits and looks at the pigeon, which lies on the balcony floor. It moves its head slightly as wind ruffles its feathers and blows leaves around it. The security monitor ticks up to 91 degrees Fahrenheit. A lingering view shows the thin air vent on the ceiling. At the pool, the man splashes water over the nape of his neck. The water dampens the ends of his hair and the collar of his shirt. Squatting, he splashes his face. He grabs his radio.
Number 3, come in.
On the upstairs landing, the man picks up a desk phone receiver and presses buttons. He hangs up. He examines a nearby calendar, which shows a year on one page. On the second sheet, he finds an entry labeled Astana Tulip Tower, covering several weeks. The man checks the wiring of a computer monitor, but finds it disconnected. He searches through various drawers, finding office supplies and documents. In one, he finds a stack of instant photos. They show the white-haired man and other well-dressed people at a fancy party. One photo shows the dog. The man puts down the photos and grabs a medal hanging from a red ribbon. He hangs it around his neck, then approaches the artwork of the duct-taped man. He holds up the golden medal.
I've got the Pritzker Prize. What the fuck have you done?
In a bedroom, the man runs his hand up a frosted glass window. He slaps his palm against the glass. Moldy oranges sit on a nearby surface. The man enters the neighboring bathroom, which contains the huge tub with sharp angles. He bangs on the window. He runs his hands over the glass. He glances at the square tub as he heads to the toilet. With the top half of his jumpsuit hanging down, he undoes the front area and urinates. He finishes up and heads back into the bedroom. He runs his hand over the long window as he walks. Spotting the oranges, he approaches and picks one up. He hefts it in his hand, then picks up another. He clacks them together. He puts one down and steps onto the bed. He heaves the orange at the window. In the living room, the orange rolls to a stop on the floor. The man picks it up and tosses it in the air a few times. He sits on a nearby table. He throws the orange into the pool. He glances around the room. He looks up. Keeping his gaze on the ceiling, the man stands on the table. A skylight made of squares of frosted glass protrudes from the high ceiling, resembling an upside-down pyramid. The man stares at the skylight. A moving view focuses on the lowest, centermost square. Now, a piece of wooden furniture gets dragged across the floor on a rug. The man pushes the long piece of furniture onto its side. It towers above him. He drags a large piece of shelving. Upstairs, the man pulls the contents off a bookshelf. He pushes a metal table across the landing. Downstairs, the man sits beside the pool. He scoops water with his hands and sips it, but spits it back out. He removes the metal from around his neck and drops it into the pool. He takes off his gray t-shirt, revealing a black tank top underneath. He balls up the shirt and dips it into the pool. The man wipes his armpits with the wet shirt. He dips it again and holds it on the back of his neck. He pulls the wet shirt down to his chest, but pauses as he gazes forward. A moving view scans the nearby vegetation plot. A tiny black object protrudes from the dirt. Dropping the shirt, the man walks across the shallow pool. He gets down on his hands and knees and crawls across the dirt beneath plant leaves. He pulls the tiny object from the dirt, revealing it to be a sprinkler attached to a tube. He removes the sprinkler head and examines the tube before dropping it. The man approaches the fish tanks. He dips a finger in the water and tastes it. He frowns and spits. He watches the colorful fish in the tank. The man looks off but returns his gaze to the fish. In the master bathroom, the man turns the gold-colored knobs of a pair of sinks. No water comes out. He pushes the golden handle above the toilet. He looks down at the bowl, which remains full of dark amber urine. Drops cover the seat. The man spits into the toilet. In the living room, the man sucks on a piece of ice. He takes it from his mouth and runs it over his lips, then puts it back in and chews it. A wider view shows him at the partition window by the kitchen. He lifts a metal tray and sips from it. He slurps up a small amount of water on the partition. The man finishes sipping from the tray and chews the ice. The man drops the metal table down the large staircase. It slides to the bottom, knocking over books stacked on the stairs. Using his knife, the man removes strips of fabric woven around a chair frame. He uses the straps to tie together the furniture he moved to the living room. He steadily knots the straps around the furniture, creating a large structure in the center of the room. He shakes the structure, checking its stability. The man places a chair on a lower table, then carefully climbs the attached pieces of furniture. Reaching the pinnacle, he shakes the structure again. Steps onto the highest surface and stretches his arms up towards the skylight. The center pane hangs several feet above his hands. He makes his way down the structure. Nighttime. The man stands at one of the tall windows. He rests his hands on the sides and looks out at the city. Headlights move on a distant bridge. On the TV, a camera feed shows the lobby. A man in a suit gestures for a young woman in a maid's uniform to remove her earbuds. Daytime. In the living room, the man draws the furniture structure in a small sketchbook. He sits on the floor with his back on a pillow against the sectional. He glances back and forth between the sketchbook and the towering structure. On the nearby TV, video of a stairwell shows the maid sitting on a step, eating. The man notices and stops sketching. He leans forward and watches her eat. He smiles. Wearing earbuds, the maid continues eating her sandwich. The video feed on the TV changes to the recreation room.
What are you eating? Oh, fuck.
The man leans back and continues watching the TV. It switches to the multi-camera view.
Oh, there she is. There you are.
The stairwell feed shows the maid rising to her feet and going down the steps with her food container. She pushes a custodial cart. The man stares at the TV, his skin glistening with sweat.
Fuck.
By the carved door, he approaches the hanging security monitor.
Oh, man. Cool.
He taps his finger to the screen. The temperature reading changes from 95 to 100 degrees. In the kitchen, the man finds a can of food in a drawer. He searches through other drawers filled with cutlery and kitchen tools. Throws several utensils which crash by a pair of dog bowls in a barren corner of the room. He uses his knife to pierce the lid of the can. As he works, he accidentally slices his left palm. He tries to wash the wound in the sink, but no water comes out of the faucet. At the pool, he dips his hand in the water and presses at the small cut. Sitting at the edge, the man cuts and tears his gray t-shirt into strips. The medal and a book lie in the pool. In the kitchen, a view from inside the empty freezer shows the man opening the door. He leans inside, rubbing at the frost on the walls. He scoops some into his mouth. He scrambles at the small pieces of ice on a shelf. Chewing, he rubs his hand on his face. He scrapes melting ice into a small pile and sucks at it. Resting his arm on the shelf, he leans in and shuts his eyes.
Oh, God.
Wearing a pained expression, the man opens his blue eyes. He turns his head, staring off miserably. He breaks into tears. He pulls back slightly and rubs at his eyes. The man pulls out of the freezer and closes the door. Cut to black. At night, the man sits in the living room. He puts a spread on a cracker with his knife. As he eats the cracker, the shadows of rain play across the wall and artwork. On his left hand, he wears a bandage made from the strips of his t-shirt. Sitting cross-legged in his tank top and underwear, he stares off as he chews. The man looks out at the balcony. The injured pigeon sits huddled on the dirt at the base of a tree. Rain pours down around it. Daytime. Books lie scattered across the living room floor. In the kitchen, the man uses a wooden mallet to hammer the narrow top of the small statue between a metal door and its frame. Using the statue as a lever, the man forces the door open, revealing a walk-in pantry. Inside, he finds sparsely filled shelves holding a few bags of pasta, two cans of dog food, and other items. A locker holds a large cut of raw meat. The man turns and heads out. In the vegetation plot, water squirts from the sprinklers. The man lies on the dirt and sucks water from a sprinkler head. He moves his face back and forth over the spraying water, letting it wash over him. The man lies on his back, grinning. Around him, the sprinklers continue to spray. He continues lying back with a serene expression. The sprinklers turn off.
Uh,
The man rolls onto his side. In the living room, the Red Z artwork hangs on the wall by the tall windows. The man approaches, wearing his jumpsuit with the top half hanging down. He tugs on a long white curtain and it falls to the floor. He carries the curtain away. In the blonde girl's bedroom, the man flips the mattress off its frame. He uses his knife to slice the straps binding the frame's wooden slats together. He turns the frame onto its side. He drags the mattress out of the room. In the living room, the man wraps the white curtain around the base of the furniture structure. He climbs onto the structure and ties the curtain to another section. He shakes the structure, checking its stability. He climbs higher to newly added pieces of furniture. The man places a painted wooden board flat at the top. He uses straps from the bed frame to secure it. Now the man rises into view, his hands reaching the center square of the skylight. He bangs on the frosted glass, then taps it with his knife handle. He climbs back down the structure. He walks off. On the security monitor, the temperature rises from 104 to 106 degrees. On the dimly lit staircase, the man sits huddled over his knees, wearing only black underwear. A close view shows him putting his fingertips in his mouth. Now he sips brown liquid from a glass. He labels a drawing of a man in his sketchbook with the name Jack. He moves on to a sketch of a woman. With a pencil, he fills in her hair. On the TV, the maid ascends in an elevator. Lifting his now scruffy face, the man notices.
Hey.
Smiling, he writes under the sketch of the woman who resembles the maid.
A-S-M-I-N-E.
He names the sketch Jasmine.
Honey. Oh, fuck.
The feed switches to the empty recreation room.
Oh.
The man sips the last of his drink and continues working on his sketches. He looks back at the TV, finding a feed of the penthouse hall. The maid prepares to vacuum by the other side of the carved door. She puts in her earbuds. Lips parted, the man watches intently as the maid starts vacuuming. The man scrambles off the couch and lies on the floor, struggling to get his legs into his jumpsuit pants. The maid continues to vacuum.
Hey!
With the jumpsuit halfway on, he gets to his feet and rushes to the hall. He pulls the sleeves on and places his ear against the carved door.
Come on, honey. Open the door, please. Baby. Come on, honey. Come on. Come on.
As the man listens at the door, the video feed shows the maid vacuuming on the other side. The man returns to the living room. Watching the TV, he finds the maid back on the elevator. Still wearing the earbuds, she bobs her head and moves her mouth as it descends. The man wears a disappointed expression. He leans over and puts his hands on his knees. He looks at the TV.
Hey. Hey.
It shows the maid getting off the elevator in the lobby. On the glitching security monitor, the red sun icon changes to a blue snowflake. The man glances around and leaves the living room. He approaches the photograph of the mobile staircase full of people. He peers up at the thin air vent in the ceiling above it. He holds up his hand and waves it below the vent. Air lightly rustles the man's hair as he gazes up at the vent. The man nods slowly. He stares off, taking on an exhausted expression. He breathes deeply and closes his eyes, letting the air blow over him. A lingering view shows the air vent. The man leans his head back. He straightens and looks ahead. His gaze falls on the photo of the mobile staircase leading to nothing. The man stares sadly at the photo. His lip quivers and he swallows. He fixates on the top of the packed staircase where people face empty space. The man's breathing quickens. In a fetal position on a pile of blankets. He wears only his underwear. On the TV, video feeds show the penthouse hall, then people in the lobby. A woman in a t-shirt holds several dogs by their leashes. In the elevator, the maid stands by the custodial cart. She wears earbuds as she sings and sways. Beside the man, the sketchbook lies open on the blankets. It shows the drawings labeled Jack and Jasmine. The man stirs, shifting on the blankets. On the security monitor, the temperature changes from 79 to 77 degrees. In the vegetation plot, the sprinklers turn on. The water sprays into a variety of bowls and jugs laid out on the dirt beneath the sprinkler heads. The sprinklers turn off. Wearing his tank top and jumpsuit, the man sits in the plot. He dips a sieve in the water, then hits it on a tree trunk. He puts it down and scoops water with a small ceramic dish. He pours it into a glass bottle.
Oh.
He notices a black particle in the water, picks it out, and continues filling the bottle. He takes a swig from the bottle, nods, and pours more water into it. In the kitchen, the man stands before the open doors of the fridge and freezer. He dances and sips water from the bottle as he looks in. The man dances away, leaving the doors open. At sunset, a plate holds crackers with various condiments and garnishes. Sitting naked in the pool, the man takes a cracker. He pours a drink into a champagne glass and takes a sip.
Come on, what are you guys supposed to do? It was out of time. And his two friends were so fine.
He downs the rest of the drink. Daytime. In the master bedroom, the man searches through dresser drawers. One contains sex toys. In another, he finds an instant camera. In a walk-in closet, the man tugs on a door. Failing to open it, he walks back into the master bedroom. He finds two bottles on a shelf. He carries the bottles into the bathroom. He pauses, noticing a purple glass flower vase. The man lifts the now empty vase over his head and throws it down into the tub. It shatters. The man picks through the remains of the vase, selecting two pieces of broken glass. In the living room, the man uses tape, twisted fabric, and the pieces of broken glass to construct a pair of makeshift goggles. Wearing the jumpsuit and the purple-tinted goggles, he approaches the furniture structure. The man climbs the structure carrying an ice pick and a meat tenderizer. At the top, he taps the skylight glass with the pick. Using the pick and tenderizer as a hammer and chisel, the man chips away at the gray material framing the skylight. As he works, dust and small pieces fall from the frame. By the carved door, the third Sheely painting sits by the wood chips. In the kitchen, dirty dishes fill the sink. As the man chisels, he cranes his neck upward and debris falls into his mouth. He tries to spit out dust. Later, the man sits at the base of the structure, rubbing his neck. Wide and close views show the towering structure. Shadows of leaves move across the ceiling. In the kitchen, the man stands at the counter.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight we're going to be preparing a very, quite simple but quite delicious pasta dish. We're going to start out with some filtered water from our favorite source, the little vegetation area there. Okay, now I'm going to package a pasta. We're going to take some of this fusilli pasta, pasta de semola de granduro, and let that soak for about, 24 hours. Over here, we've already prepared this rigatoni, I guess it is. And we're going to see how it tastes right now.
He takes a bite.
Soft, definitely al dente. It's not bad. It's not bad.
On the security monitor, the temperature changes from 50 to 46 degrees. In the living room, the man eats strips of seasoned meat as he watches TV. Wearing a blanket over his shoulders, he switches from a distorted channel to the security video.
Oh.
It shows an older woman at the reception desk.
Hey, Gladys. Looking good. Out for a little shopping.
In a garage, a valet reaches toward the camera.
Ramon. ¿Qué pasa? Hey, looking good.
The man checks his watch.
Jasmine, it's your lunch break. Where are you?
The video feed switches to the stairwell where the maid sits with her lunch. She smiles as she speaks with a bearded employee wearing a jumpsuit with the same logo as the man.
Hey, who's that? Funny guy. Yeah, friend of yours?
The video feed changes to an empty elevator. Later, the man stands atop the furniture structure, chiseling at the skylight frame. He takes out his knife and prods at the frame. Using his fingers, he tries to turn an uncovered nut on a bolt embedded in the material. It doesn't move.
Oh, fuck.
Frustrated, the man gathers himself and grabs the ice pick. He bangs at the frame. The afternoon sun shines behind the unoccupied furniture structure. At night, the man stands by the window looking through a telescope. He wears a blanket around his shoulders.
Okay. I see you. I see you. I got you.
Oh.
This will pass. Give me the gas. Fall on your ass.
Gotcha.
Ollie, and free, everybody's dead.
The man steps back and briefly rubs his face. He shakes up and down. His breath fogs when he exhales. By the carved door, the man uses his knife to cut blue wire connected to the security monitor. The monitor falls slightly and hangs lower. The temperature changes from 46 to 43 degrees. He taps on the monitor with no effect. He studies the wire he cut, wearing a frustrated expression. The man draws the blanket closer around his shoulders and blows on his hand. In the living room, the man holds his radio. Its glowing display shows the remaining battery life as 1%. The man looks out the window. Morning. Sunlight moves through the interior of the penthouse. A close view shows a beam of light shining on the man's closed eye. His eyelid twitches, then opens. A wider view reveals him lying on the living room floor, wrapped in a red comforter. A piece of the crystalline chess set sits beside him, refracting light around the room. The man crawls over to the piece and picks it up. The piece reflects light onto the wall near the red Z artwork. The man moves the piece, causing the spot of light to move back and forth over another spot of light. A blurred view shows him approaching the wall and continuing to move the piece. As the man draws closer, his face comes into focus. He smacks his lips. With a pencil, he draws a crude circle around the second spot of light. He uses the chess piece to shine light across the spot, briefly forming an X. Atop the furniture structure, the man wears his goggles and jumpsuit. He chisels at the frame of the skylight, causing dust and debris to fall into his hair and onto his shoulders. Empty glasses, chess pieces, and trash cover the floor. The man works his knife under the frame. A large chunk breaks off, revealing a metal base. He continues working. More chunks of the frame fall down around the man, collecting at his feet. The TV displays feeds from around the building. The center square of skylight hangs with the metal base of the frame completely exposed. Three bolts on each side secure the base to the glass. Wrapped in the red comforter, the man watches TV. It shows the maid smiling as she speaks with the suited man in the lobby. In the penthouse, the man wears a thoughtful expression. His forehead wound now healed, he sports a goatee. Still wrapped in the comforter, he stands facing the glass door to the balcony. The man slowly lowers to the floor. The pigeon stands on the other side of the door. Unclenching his fist, the man touches the glass.
Go to Tompkins Square Park and look for a guy named Danny C. He's usually near the basketball courts. Usually there in the late afternoon. Tell him that I'm stuck here. No one's come.
The pigeon's feathers appear ruffled. The man taps on the glass, causing the bird to flinch.
Do that for me.
The man smiles.
Nobody here but us pigeons. Right? Right? Right. Right.
He lowers his forehead to the floor. Upstairs, the man faces the family photo. He uses a black marker to draw horns and a goatee on the white-haired man. He draws a crown on the blonde girl's head and a smile over her mouth. Above her head, he draws a thought bubble containing the words, "Oh, Daddy." The white-haired man holds a marker-drawn pitchfork, and a devil's tail sticks out from behind him. The man draws a halo above the dog's head, finishing his markup of the photo. The same artwork from the present-day living room hangs on the wall in the photo. It features a blue and gold pattern and a man in overalls. In the master bedroom, the collage-like art piece depicts the white-haired man surrounded by people engaging in sexual acts. With a comforter around his body, the man stands in the closet. He kicks at the door inside. He drops the comforter and opens the door. He kicks a second door open. He inspects items of clothing hanging in the closet, then takes a jacket off its hanger. He puts his arm into one sleeve. Bright sunlight filters in through a tall, skinny window. He puts in his other arm and slides the jacket on over his jumpsuit. He moves the hanging clothing aside. He finds the thin crack of another doorway. He steps further in, looking closely at the crack. Bright green light shines beyond it. The man runs his hand up the crack and pries at it with his fingers, forcing a narrow door open. He steps through, entering a long, tight hallway illuminated by the green light. He looks around curiously, then squeezes down the hallway. Crack Craning his neck, he glances upward. The green light highlights the man's features as he continues down. Furrowing his brow, he pauses at the end.
Fucking self-portrait.
An expressionist artwork of a man hangs on a wall. The man looks to his side. He frantically squeezes back down the narrow hallway and stops at the end. He presses his forehead against the wall and holds his knife.
What?
He advances back down the hall, his brow furrowed. At the end, he peeks around the corner into a room. He enters cautiously, wearing a look of astonishment. He approaches the body of an old man who lies on his back, motionless. A thin box sits on the body's chest. The man draws closer, studying the old man's face. He grabs the old man's cheeks and squeezes. The face compresses like rubber. He slaps the dummy. Its head bounces from the force of the slap. The man lifts the lid of the thin box and examines the contents. He flips through papers. Neon green lights on the wall behind the dummy spell out the unseen world. The man places the box on the table, then shoves the dummy off of it. He slides the box to the middle of the table and flips to a book title page reading The Marriage of Heaven and Hell in Decorative Script. A drawing depicts people falling below the Earth's surface. He flips to pages with text and drawings, including one of a naked man and another of a snake.
Opposition is true friendship.
With the box in hand, the man walks to the self-portrait and takes it off the wall. At the end of the hall, he steps back into the closet, carrying the thin box and the painting. Close view shows the collage-like artwork. Stepping away from the closet, the man returns to the master bedroom. Brow furrowed, he shakes his head and stops walking. He focuses on a man in the painting who resembles himself. The subject's long, serpent-like tongue extends to a naked woman's similar tongue. A tear streams out of the painted man's eye and a purple tentacle dangles over his bare chest. A white object covers his other eye. With a fearful look, the man backs away and leaves. In the living room, napkins, abstract sculptures, and chess pieces litter the floor. Outside, the pigeon lies lifeless on the ground. A stray feather blows away in the wind. Leaves lie on the ground surrounding the pigeon. Inside, the man lies on his side, wrapped in the comforter, and chews something. He briefly closes his eyes. In the sketchbook, he works on a drawing. It resembles the painting of the naked woman lying with her back turned. He draws an oval between her thighs, then darkens the outline of her stomach and breast. He puts a piece of food in his mouth, then looks up at the painting on the wall. On the TV, the security video shows the maid in the penthouse hallway. The man sits up.
Jasmine?
She sucks up cigarette smoke with a vacuum.
Hey!
God damn! Jasmine!
He runs to the carved door and bangs on it. He tries to slip a note under the door.
Jasmine!
It bunches up.
No!
He hits the door with a pan.
Jasmine! Help me! Get me out of here! Help me!
In the video feed, the maid smokes her cigarette. The man puts his ear to the door. The video shows the hall empty.
Oh!
In the elevator, the maid sniffs her uniform. The elevator stops and she gets out. Panting, the man sits on the floor, resting against the carved door. The man enters the living room wrapped in the red comforter. He slowly kneels, then falls onto his side on his makeshift bed. He pulls the comforter tightly around himself. Gentle waves of dark water ripple. As the waves continue, the blonde girl walks the dog across a room. Fade to black. Wearing a suit, the man descends the staircase.
Time. Welcome.
People walk by in the room below.
This moment.
He reaches a large, plain room filled with mingling people.
All will come after. After this moment. All will come.
Hey.
The white-haired man approaches.
You made it. Great. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. Welcome. Come, let me get you a drink. So, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Really? Oh, that's good. That's great. Yeah. Challenging times we're living through. If you're keeping your head above water, kudos to you.
I like a challenge.
What side of the divide are you on? Is no man an island, or every man an island?
I'm an island. But ask me again after a few cocktails.
That is the spirit. That is the spirit. Have you seen the Sheila? The self-portrait?
Yeah, I've seen it.
And? What do you think?
The man notices the maid nearby wearing a yellow dress. She looks at him.
Look, there is champagne, cocktails, whatever you like. Make yourself at home.
I will.
I'll catch you later.
The white-haired man points at him, then walks to the maid. As he whispers in her ear, she stares at the man. She drops her gaze, then glances at the white-haired man.
Let's go, guys.
He steps away.
Welcome, everyone, to this exciting private view of a new work by Masbedo, an artist duo that I love very, very, very much. Give them an applause. The puppet. The marionette. Long a symbol of the inevitability of destiny. We are puppets.
The man walks through the crowd of well-dressed people who focus on the white-haired man. A video projection in the front shows a large puppet in blue clothing.
Or are we just puppets?
The man stands at a distance behind the crowd. Several other videos play on the surrounding walls. He backs away, then turns and heads toward the staircase. Glowing lights line the sides of the staircase. Holding a wine glass, the man ascends the steps, surrounded by darkness. Warm light shines through the open penthouse doorway, illuminating the ornate carvings on the door. The man rolls awake in his makeshift bed. He sits upright. He gazes off with a furrowed brow. He slowly rises, crossing the room with the comforter still wrapped around his body. Beyond the windows, the city lights shine in the night sky. Passing the furniture structure, he walks toward the two long fish tanks. With one suspended over the other, they cast a blue glow on the cluttered floor. A man pauses near the tanks. A wooden chair sits in front of them. Daytime. Wearing a robe, the man kicks a leg in the back off the wooden chair. Using a slip of paper with a hole in it, he traces a small circle on a piece of wood from the chair. Now he carves a notch in the end of the piece. A moving view nears the center square of the skylight. He finishes carving the notch in the wood. Now the notch surrounds one of the nuts in the skylight. He strikes the wood with the meat tenderizer. He turns the makeshift wrench. A crack forms in the wood. Split in half, the wrench drops to the floor. Later, the man faces the fish tank. He dunks a strainer into one of the tanks and tries to catch a fish. Later, one of the fish lies in a shallow puddle. Its body twitches as its gills move. Its yellow tail drops and the fish lies motionless. The man sketches a large eyeball on the wall where the Red Sea artwork once hung. With charcoal, he draws messy concentric circles around it. He darkens the outer ring, then drops the charcoal. He takes another piece out of his pocket and continues darkening the circles around the eye. In the evening, the man holds a glass of liquor.
It's Monday. Little girl comes home from school. She asks her mother, "Ma, what are we having for dinner tonight?" And her mother says, "Chicken." She says, "Oh, Ma, chicken, great. I love chicken. I love chicken." Tuesday, little girl comes home from school. She says to her mother, "Ma, what's for dinner tonight?"
He carves another wrench.
Mother says, "Chicken." She says, "Oh, great. I love chicken." Wednesday, little girl comes home from school.
He uses it on the skylight.
"Ma, what's for dinner?" Mother says, "Chicken." Girl says, "Great. Oh, chicken, yeah."
Smiling, he removes a nut.
Thursday, little girl comes home from school, asks her mother.
With his finger, he smooths the charcoal on a rectangle drawn on the wall. He sketches another eye inside a circle.
"Good, good, yeah, chicken." Friday, little girl comes home from school. "Ma, what's for dinner tonight?" Mother
he slices says, and chops a fish on a cutting board.
"Ma, chicken, oh, okay, yeah, chicken, chicken." Saturday, "Ma, what's for dinner tonight?"
He picks meat off the carcass.
Mother says, "Chicken." Little girl says, "Ma."
Outside, maggots crawl on the dead pigeon. By his wall drawing, the man gathers charcoal dust from the floor on his fingers. The man spits a mouthful of liquid on the first eye drawing. Dark liquid runs down the wall. In the kitchen, he forms balls with the fish.
Monday, little girl comes home from school.
He rocks in a chair.
"What's for dinner tonight?" Mother says, "Chicken." "Oh, I love chicken. Yeah, chicken, that's my favorite. Oh, you know how I love chicken."
As he works on the skylight, a piece of wood breaks off from a makeshift wrench. He throws it down. It lands among other broken wrenches. He sketches an hourglass on the wall.
You get it, right? I mean, it's a Bulgarian joke, actually. I learned it from a very beautiful woman. She had no idea.
He carves another wrench.
She was very funny. I mean, that was her greatest charm.
The man picks up a fish ball as the TV screen glitches behind him. He hesitantly brings the ball to his mouth and takes a bite. Gagging, he sets it down. He pours yellow-tinted liquid from a jar into a champagne glass. He pauses to chew, then takes a sip from the glass. Liquid dribbles from his mouth and he wipes his lips. A distant view shows the unpopulated fish tanks. On a nearby wall, the man works on a large rudimentary sketch. A mass of figures appears to fall from above. Several figures hold bows and arrows. The video feed of the lobby shows an attendant standing by as someone in a coat leaves through a revolving door. In the stairwell, the maid smokes a cigarette. She looks toward the camera and moves closer, then turns away. Lying down, the man watches.
She saw me.
He rolls his head to gaze upward.
She did.
He rubs his face.
Nothing happened between us.
The man sits in the video installation room. The light from the projector fans out around him.
Maybe.
But when we met, I had a feeling that life had taken over.
A man and woman come into view on the wall.
I loved being in bed with you. I loved waking up next to you. And I knew you felt the same.
This is just my way to contribute. Cheers to all of you. Cheers, big ears.
He works on the skylight.
If you didn't like the joke, I'm sorry, but fuck you. I did the best I could. And if you didn't like that, fuck you.
The man removes a nut. He places it on a red pillow with three others. The pillow sits atop a sculpture created by the man. A chess piece sits on a fake moldy orange. A can opener, coral from the fish tank, and the other oranges surround the small statue. Behind the sculpture, the drawing on the wall features rectangles, eyes, and houses on either side of the massive circular centerpiece. X's cross out the left house and eye. In the kitchen, ribs stripped of meat sit on the cutting board. Books, clothes, and other items litter the master bedroom where the mattress lies askew off the baseboard. On the glitching monitor in the hall, a snowflake icon changes to a red sun icon. The temperature rises from 68 to 70 degrees. In the vegetation plot, the man grabs leaves out of a bowl of water. He looks up, then returns his attention to his work. He peers up again. Now, leaves fall from one of the trees as the man shakes it. He releases the trunk and walks off. An overhead view shows him sitting on the edge of the bathtub with his pants down. Excrement lies strewn in the tub. He reaches for a pad of paper. He wipes his rear with the paper, then drops it into the tub. Feces and used paper sit in a pile by the edge where he sits. In the kitchen, an open can of dog food sits on the counter. The man picks up a spoon and pokes at the contents. He scoops a spoonful and dumps it into a glass bowl. He scoops more of the brown, chunky dog food. He cracks pepper over the bowl. He takes another spoonful. In the living room, sheets of pink satin lead to a red rug-like garment. Sitting on the floor, the man wears it like a cape, along with a draping furry garment over his head, with long pipe cleaner antlers attached.
I have no energy. I'm dying.
With a chess piece, he reflects sunlight toward the wall. He removes the furry hood. One of the scraggly antlers bobs near his head. The man scratches his neck. He bats the pipe cleaner antler. His eyes follow as it bounces up and down. He smacks it away, but it bounces back to his face. He pushes it back with his arm, then lies on his makeshift bed. His head rests on the furry hood. Upstairs, the man stares at something.
I feel you, brother. I'm gonna set you free.
He pushes the artwork of the duct-taped man off the wall. Papers fly up as the canvas hits the floor. The man walks across the back. Atop the furniture structure, the man moves a makeshift wrench. He drops it and removes a nut with his fingers. As he studies it, he loses his balance and tumbles down the structure to the floor below. A view of the skylight shows two remaining nuts attached to their bolts. The man struggles to sit up. He pulls up his pant leg, revealing a bloody gash on his shin. He touches the wound, then leans back, resting his weight on the palms of his hands. He looks upstairs at the photo of the white-haired man, defaced with the marker-drawn horns and goatee. At night, the man uses his finger to scrape the last traces of a condiment from a glass jar. He looks through the windows, watching multicolored fireworks burst over the city skyline. They cast faint light into the apartment. Behind the man, the TV shows distorted footage from a news broadcast. He turns and notices the maid standing beside the TV. He stares at her. She approaches and kneels before him on the floor. They gaze into each other's eyes. The maid leans forward, close to his face. She stops short of touching her lips to his. She slowly moves her face back and forth in front of him. Her lips stay close but never touch his. The colored glow of the fireworks flickers on their faces. The maid holds her hand over the man's cheek. Her fingers gently move beside his face. Her hand moves over his chin, then slowly down his neck. Reaches his chest and her fingers hover over his skin. While she studies him, the man stares at her. She leans in, brings her lips close to his, then meets his gaze and leans back. A wider view reveals the man sitting alone. He closes his eyes and lies back against piled bedding. A makeshift splint binds his lower left leg. Daytime. The man puts his watch on the front of his sculpture. The watch's broken band hangs over a bar. The man places the remainder of the band across the watch face. A close view of the man's feet shows him walking gingerly across the floor. In the master bathroom, the man dips a sharp tool into a glass of clear liquid. He tugs down on his lower lip. Looking in the mirror, the man holds the tool close to his exposed gums. Behind him, the white-haired man grabs his neck and slams his head into the counter. In the video installation room, a projection shows an extreme close-up of an animal's eye. Now, a fisherman sits in a small boat wearing only a pair of shorts. Floating in a marsh, he pulls a net into his boat. A glimpse shows the animal eye. The fisherman takes a large brown fish from the net, holds it against his chest, and caresses it. Another projection displays a tree losing leaves. The close view of the animal's eye appears. In the bathroom, the man stirs on the floor. A pool of blood lies beside his mouth. He rolls onto his back and rubs at the blood on his face. He prods at his mouth. His focus shifts upward. He lowers his hand and slowly rises from the floor, keeping his gaze fixed toward the ceiling. He peers at a small black device on the ceiling. A green light blinks in its center. In the living room, the man limps toward the kitchen. In the kitchen, the man stares up at the ceiling. He spots an identical black device.
That's it.
In the living room, the man stands before his wall drawing. He moves his hand, blocking a spot of light refracting onto the drawing. Sitting on the floor, he places a bowl beside a book. He tears pages from the book into strips and puts them in the bowl. The man uses a magnifying glass to focus a beam of light onto the strips of paper. The strips smoke, then catch fire. The flames grow slowly. He adds more strips of paper. As the flames in the bowl grow higher, the man pours liquid onto a torch made of a chair leg and fabric. He lights the torch and gets to his feet. In the kitchen, the man looks up at the ceiling. Holding the torch in one hand, he hobbles over to the counter and climbs onto it. The man stands on the counter and holds up the torch. The fire flickers just below the black device. Sprinklers built into the ceiling activate. Showers of water pour down from them, soaking everything. In the living room, the neon sign glows brightly, reading, "All the time that will come after this moment." The man limps through the downpour. Several words turn off, leaving only "after this moment" lit up. The man pauses and holds out his arms while looking up. He turns and quickly limps to the hall. He faces the carved door. Glimpses show water showering down throughout the penthouse. The man leans his hands on the door. He drops his head. Water continues to fall at a steady rate, collecting on the floor. Drops splash into a glass bowl. The man returns to the living room. He stares with concern at the TV, which displays distorted video feeds of the building. The image flickers, then the TV shuts off. The man wears a devastated expression and bows his head. The man glances around the room. He limps through the water. He collapses onto a bench next to his falling figure's drawing. Breathing heavily, he looks up at the ceiling. The man puts his head down on his arms, leaning over the bench. He shakes with sobs. Water drops bounce off the stairs. The man looks across the room. He goes to the painting of the naked woman lying down and takes it off the wall. In the video installation room, water falls through the beam of the projector. The images distort and flicker. In the living room, water pours off an edge to the floor. A view of the hall and the carved door slowly fades into a view of the living room. The man huddles on the bench with the removed artwork by his side. The sprinklers shut off. The man looks around at the flooded space. Inches of water cover the floor. Views from around the penthouse show water rippling and dripping. The reflection of the yellow bird painting shimmers on the surface of the water. Leaves and makeshift wrenches float over the floor. The man gets to his feet and staggers away from the bench, wading through the shallow water. He drags a massive painting of blue dots on a white canvas across the room. The words, "After this moment," still glow on the wall. Cut to black. A view of the balcony shows snow falling, covering the tree and other surfaces in white flakes. The corpse of the pigeon lies almost fully buried beneath the snow. In the living room, the man reads from the book pages he found on the dummy.
But the following contrast is a true one. Man has no body distinct from his soul. Two, energy. It's the only life, and it's from the body. Three, energy is eternal delight. One thought fills immensity.
The man lies in his underwear, facing the windows.
Energy. It's eternal delight.
On the balcony, the blonde girl stands in the falling snow. She wears the same dress from the photograph, and she holds the dog by a leash. It calmly sits beside her. They stare in through the glass door. On a sunny day, the man trudges across the living room with a makeshift wrench.
I'm going to have a little sad. I'm going to have a little sad.
The man stops before his sculpture and leans over. He places the final nut from the skylight on the pillow. The 12 nuts lie in neat rows of four. He drops the makeshift wrench. He leans further, bending over double.
I'm going to heaven, all the hills. I'm going to heaven.
The man stands and faces the window.
I'm going to heaven on the hillside. 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 I'm going to heaven on the hillside.
He leans over with his hands on his knees. His thin frame reveals the outline of his ribs and spine. A bruise mars his side.
I'm going to heaven on the hillside. I'm going to heaven on the hillside.
The man stands straight and lifts his hands over his head. He faces his drawing and holds his hands out toward it.
I'm going to heaven on the hillside. I'm going to heaven on the hillside. I'm going to heaven on the hillside.
The man leans over. The book pages lie in their thin box on a chair next to the sculpture. The chair also holds the painting of the naked woman. The Shelley self-portrait sits on the other side of the man's sculpture. Rising views show the 12 nuts on the pillow, then the drawing on the wall behind it. The man rises to his feet on the staircase. Roving views of the penthouse show clutter, damaged artwork, and the man's drawings.
When I was a kid, my teacher asked, what are the three things I would save from my house if it were on fire? I answered, my sketchbook, my AC/DC album, and my cat, Groucho. My cat died. I lent that AC/DC album to a guy named Kojo, and I never saw it again. But the sketchbook, I kept. Cats die. Music fades. But art is for keeps. As a gesture of thanks for your hospitality, I've saved three things of yours from destruction. I lived in your place only a short time.
The man writes a message on a wall.
For you, it was a home. For me, it was a cage. I'm sorry if I destroyed it. But maybe it needed to be destroyed. After all, there's no creation without destruction.
The man tears a drawing from his sketchbook and crumples it.
I'm going on the hillside. I'm going to heaven on the hillside.
A close view shows the man's feet as he climbs the furniture structure, wearing the purple robe and his legs still in the splint. Drifting views show one of the empty fish tanks and the damaged painting of the man in overalls.
I'm going to heaven on the hillside.
A frosted glass pane falls to the bottom of the furniture structure, bouncing off a table. Close views show the vegetation plot and the damage to the carved door. Above the photo of the mobile staircase, an arrow points to words written in charcoal reading, "The World." In the living room, beams of light from the skylight illuminate the furniture structure. A closer view of the skylight reveals the open center square. Inside the center square, shadows move on the walls of a shaft leading upward. Fade to black. A film by Vasilis Katsoupis. Written by Ben Hopkins. Based on an idea by Vasilis Katsoupis. Willem Dafoe. Inside. With Jeanne Bervoets, Eliza Stoic. Produced by Georgios Karnavas. Produced by Marcos Kantis, Dries Flipo. Director of Photography, Stephen Annis. Production Designer, Thorsten Sable. Art Curator, Leonardo Bigazzi. Editor, Lambis Haralambidis. Costume designer, Catherine Van Brie. Makeup artist, Esther DeGoy. Composer, Frederick Von de Mortel. Sound mixer, Alec Bunick Goss. Line producer, Pierre Wallen. Executive producers, Jim Stark, Vasilis Katsoupis, Konstantinos Kontovrakis, Charles E. Breitkreutz, Martin Lewald, Jean-Claude Van Rickigem, Stephen Kelleher. Associate producers, Dan Weschler, Jamal Zainal Zaid, Andreas Rold, Anna Christina Santos. Co-producers, Jens Wolf, Neshi Demir, Basti Gries, Peter Kreutz, David Clakins, Alex Verbere. In Loving Memory, Breda Bebon, Laszlo Reich, Nick Powell, Cameron Michael. Credits roll, The Inside Art Collection, Maxwell Alexandra, Se U Fosse Voses Oljava Prom Meme De Novo, 2018, John Armleader, Untitled, 1991, John Armleader, Untitled, FS, 1998, Breda Bebon, I Can't Make You Love Me, 2003, Breda Bebon, Arte Vivo, number 8, 2008 to 2011. Maurizio Catalan, Untitled, 1999. Maurizio Catalan, Untitled, 1999. Lynn Chadwick, Paper Hat, 1966. Julian Charrière and Julius von Bismarck, Objects in Mirror Might Be Closer Than They Appear, 2016. Francesco Clemente, After and Before, 2021. Jonathan de Andrade, O Pesce, 2016. Albrecht Fuchs, Kunst Sammler mit Hund und Tochter, 2021. Petrit Halilai and Schürte Halilai, Do You Realize There Is a Rainbow Even If It's Night? Coral, 2020. Petrit Halilai, Bourgeois Hen, 2012. David Horvitz, All the Time That Will Come After This Moment, 2019. Vasilis Katsoupis, Fragment, 2021. Cynthia Marcel, Font, 193, 2007. Cynthia Marcel and Tiago Mata Machado, Now, 2017. Mas Bedo, Niccolo Massazza and Jacopo Bidogni, Protocol, 96, 2018. Mas Bedo, Niccolo Massazza and Jacopo Bidogni, Teorema di Incompletezza, 2008, Adrian Pacci, Centro de Permanenza Temporanea, 2007, Amalia Pica, Memorial for Intersections, number 15, 2015, Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2017, Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2017, Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2016, Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2017. Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2016. Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2016. Joanna Piotrowska, Untitled, 2015. Yannis Rafa, Winter Came Early, 2015. Stefanos Rokos, Spring, 2021. Egon Schiele, Self-Portrait, 1910. Egon Schiele, Seated Woman in Underwear, Rear View, 1917. Egon Schiele, Reclining Nude in Green Stockings, 1914. Egon Schiele, Cowering Man, Male Nude.
Of the following contraries to these are true. One, man has no body distinct from his soul. Two, energy is the only life, and is from the body. Three, energy is eternal delight.
Super Studio. Monumento Continuo, New York, 1969. Rayon Tabet, Steel Rings, 2013. Luc Timmons, Isabel, 2015. Luke Timons, Orange, Red, Brown, 2015. Alvaro Urbano, Noches en los Jardines de España, 2020. Cast. Andrew Blumenthal as number 3. Vincent Eaton as number 2. Daniel White as Ashley. Josiah Krug as Jack. Cornelia Book as Mabel. Ava Von Voigt as owner's daughter. Yul Samare as doorman. Salim Karas as flirting guy. Inside, copyright 2022. Heretic, Shivago Film, A Private View. All rights reserved. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Focus Features. Read by Brianna Leon. Logo, Focus Features, a Comcast company.